you're standing, would you take your Bibles this morning and open them with me, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Find verse 13 this morning, and I want to read from verse 13 through verse 18. How marvelous, how wonderful is our Savior's love to us. That's a wonderful song. And it is a song that I believe does please the Lord and exalts Him. I don't know about you, but I could go home right now and say I've met with the Lord.
Amen.
God's been good to us here this morning. I appreciate the worship and praise. You know, that's something we ought to just tune up and do every Sunday. We're going to do that in heaven. We just need to get used to doing it down here. Don't be ashamed to sing out, sing up. You say, well, I don't have a good voice. None of us do. Well, some of us do, but most of us don't, let me say it that way. But it's amazing, isn't it, how you can take a whole bunch of voices and put them together, some that don't sound so good, and they sound all right. But I'm going to tell you this, God is so worthy of our praise. We don't have enough in our vernacular to really give Him the glory that He's due and the worthiness of His precious holy name. And I found it interesting. I had no idea what Brother Ryan had prepared for today till late last night. And I never cease to be amazed at how oftentimes the Holy Spirit of God is working in both directions, in the direction of He who's leading the worship service and that which God has laid upon our heart and the direction that we feel that He's taking us. But today, out of the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to read verses 13 through verse number 18. And these are familiar scriptures that you have heard often. And we're going to try to share some thoughts with you today that I feel strong that God wants us to share with you. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'd like to call your attention in just a moment, particularly to verse 16. And as I looked at these passages, I noticed some things that are important for us to remember. There are the sounds and the sights and the songs of our Lord's return. We need to listen to what God says about them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your holy presence that we have felt and enjoyed and rejoiced in this service this morning. We felt it, God, even in the prayer time this morning early. Even, Lord, when I arrived before others arrived, I love coming into the courts of Your house, into the place, God, that is dedicated for the cause of Christ, where we sing Your praises and we worship You, and where You seek such who will worship You in spirit and in truth. It is here, God, that You have made our souls exceedingly glad, because it is in the house of God is where we've met Jesus, and where our sins have been covered by His blood, and we have been born into the family of God. David said that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And God, when we depart from this life where we have spent the greater part of our life in the house of the Lord, I will spend eternity in the house of the Lord and be glad for it. Because God, You could have left me unto myself, and You could have decided to say no to me. But You won't say no to any, God, because the Scripture says that it is not Your will that any should ever perish, but that all would come unto You in repentance. Repentance simply means to renounce our way of life and receive your life and your forgiveness, and the blood of Jesus that was shed for the remission of our sins covers us so that judgment does not condemn us and sin cannot destroy us with the second death. I don't know any heart in the house today, but I know that you know all the hearts, and you know, God, exactly what each person stands in need of in this service. I trust and pray that some of those needs have already been touched and met as we've worshiped you in singing today. But as we share the message with this audience today, would you please open their hearts to take comfort in these scriptures? Help us, Lord, to listen to what thy word says about the sounds of the return of God. Help us to look and see what are the sights that we shall behold at the return of the Lord. And what are the lyrics of the songs that we could sing at the return of the Lord? That day is coming, and it's coming soon. And I rejoice to know, Heavenly Father, that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed and shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. God, thank you for that blessed hope that we have in Jesus. Be with all that might be traveling this weekend and other special needs. Father, thank you for touching Sister Gail this past week and being with her through her surgery. And now she is recovering. And I pray for a complete recovery. And I pray that a total restoration of her health would be granted unto her. And thank you, God, for others that have had special needs that we pray that you'll help them with. Please remember, God, the Middleton family, Sister Jessica's family. Comfort them. Such a beautiful family. Such a life that was well-ordered and well-lived. And God, of faith that was put in a Savior that through the testimony of His own children and grandchildren has permeated their minds and hearts and lives. And I pray, God, that they'll carry on the legacy of that faith throughout their lives. God bless and be with us throughout this day, and we'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Oftentimes, this passage of Scripture that I've read in your hearing today is what we generally use in trying to comfort those that have a loved one that has departed this life. It's a time of sorrow for them, a time of brokenness when death comes. Death is our enemy, according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because death is the wage of sin. By sin, death entered into the world, and death was passed upon all men because all men have sinned against God. I have sinned, and you have sinned, and there is none that can say that they have not sinned, because God has concluded all of us in sin under Adam, the first man that God made. He was wise in doing that, because then He would only have to send one last Adam, and that last Adam, being Jesus Christ, could take our sins and go out on the cross of Calvary and offer Himself to God, a sacrifice, and shed His blood so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. That's the only thing that stands between you and going to heaven is your sins. It isn't a big thing that is complicated to do. Jesus said salvation is so simple that a wayfaring man, even if he were a fool or though he be a fool, does not need to err therein. He just needs to understand that he's under the sentence of death and condemnation by the first man, Adam, that was made by God and placed in this earth. Adam chose purposely and willfully to sin and transgress God's law of thou shalt not eat of the tree of knowledge. And when he did, his eyes were open, and he and Eve together had taken that fruit, and their lives was plummeted into sin. All of human nature was under that same inherent nature that Adam has of sin. But thank God in Jesus Christ, we can all be made free from condemnation and free from judgment, and we can live a life of hope and joy knowing where we're going to go when we leave this earth. One of the reasons that Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonica church is because some of the Christians there had lost some in their number to death, and they thought that they had lost them forever. And they were sorrowing over it and acting as if there was no hope. And the world that watches us go through these trials of death and sorrows and sickness needs to see that even in brokenness we have hope and we have joy and rejoicing in the Lord. And so I want to try to lay on your heart today why it's important that we look at verse number 16 and remember to take comfort and know that our hope rests in the one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is He Himself that has said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again. How many of you are looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? What a day that is really going to be. We can sing about it, but we do not get as happy as we will be when we see Him. We can't even begin to imagine the glory and the beauty and the majesty and the joyfulness that there will be in that day. Some will remember that the last time that they were at that cemetery burying their loved one, how cold and empty that grave looked, and how hard that day was, and the sorrow that followed that day, and the gloominess that pursued them after that death had come. They finally reached a place where they decided, I can't change what has happened. I must go on and live life. But then one of the things, if they'll let themselves think on it, is that the grave is not the end. Death is not the end. There is a greater day that is coming for all of us, and praise God, the sooner the better. But I want to just say some things today before that I get to the sounds, the sights, and the songs of our Lord's return. The shout that He speaks about in verse number 16, where the Lord Jesus Himself will shout, that's the first sound that I want you to think about today. It all begins with that shout. What is a shout? A shout we often think of is somebody who goes, whoo, like that. And that is one form of a shout. But do you realize I'm shouting at you while I'm preaching? I'm so stirred up down in my heart. I've never learned how to just talk calm and sweet. Because my soul is full of shouting and my soul is full of delight and joy. The definition of a shout is a loud call or a cry, an expression of a strong emotion. Sometimes people's emotions can be so strong that without even trying to hold back, their emotion will express itself and they'll cry out. In funerals, I've heard people sorrow and sob at a song that touched their heart as they thought upon the lyrics of that song and the melody of it, and they wailed out in crying. That is a form of shout. I've often thought, and especially as I studied this message, I thought about those who cried out, sometimes even in sin. Maybe their heart was broken and they wailed at the loss of a mom or a dad or a child. And God, who sits on His throne, heard that emotion expressed. And God looked down in compassion and tender love upon that one that cried out because of the sorrow and the pain that death had brought on them. And this is what God knew. He knew that death is not our conqueror. He knew that death would not be our end. And you'll see that as I develop this message this morning. But I do want to say this, that the shout that will shatter the age-long silence of the Godhead, God isn't silent today. He has a word that He is speaking from. But the Godhead, all of that fullness dwelt bodily in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the silence that will shatter the long age of silence from the Godhead will begin with the trumpet shout of the day, or it began or ended at the day that Jesus Christ shouted when He was on the cross dying for my sins and for your sins. From that day, from the day that Jesus shouted on the cross until He departed this earth, He did shout when He departed, but most did not know it. We don't realize that when we read in the
book of Acts that He was ascending into heaven. He was talking there with His disciples and He was instructing them to go back to Jerusalem and to tarry there and to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said will come not many days after this. And while He was talking with them gently and slowly, He began to lose gravitation and He began to rise as He told them, you're going to receive some power from the Holy Ghost. When it comes upon you, you'll be My witnesses. You'll go into Jerusalem and into Judea and into the uttermost parts of the world. And they're standing looking straight on. But as He's talking, He's ascending, and they don't, I think, even comprehend nor grasp in their mind what's about to happen. But all of a sudden, they've asked Him, Lord, wilt Thou at this time when You give the Holy Ghost, are You going to restore the kingdom unto Israel? He's still going up, and He says to them, the times of the seasons, You've not, the Father has not put that in Your power to know that, but You just go and wait until the power comes, and then You go out and You do what the Holy Spirit of God will give You the power to go do. And all of a sudden, He was engulfed in the cloud, and He was taken up. Now you say, well, did He really shout? Well, if you'll turn back to the book of Psalms, chapter 47, and find verse number 5, you'll see that the psalmist prophesied that God is gone up. Is Jesus God or is He not God? I submit to you, Jesus said, I and My Father are one. And so Jesus Christ is truly God. He was God manifested to us in the flesh. And the psalmist wrote in chapter 47, verse number 5, God is gone up, listen to this, with a shout. Where was the shout heard? It doesn't say anywhere in the New Testament that the shout was heard here on earth. But I believe the shout was heard in heaven. We say, what happened to Jesus? He disappeared in the cloud, and those men were standing gazing up into the clouds, and there was two men that stood in white apparel. Now you and I, if we'd have been there, would not have seen it, but all of the heavens, when He shouted, started gathering. I'm coming home. I'm returning to My glory. I'm coming back to where I was before the foundation of the world. Jesus declared that in the 17th chapter of John. Before the world was, I am. I'm glad that I'm serving Him who was before the world was. I'm glad that He was able to step into the world that He made. I'm glad that He wanted to take on human flesh just as you and I have. He would live without sin. He would fulfill the law of God. He would conquer Satan and sin and death, and gave us the assurance that He will in the end put down that enemy forever. If I was a young man, I'd jump over this speaker and over that altar, and I would shout all over this church house. But my body ain't built for running. But praise God, when He went up with a shout. And if you look at verse number 5 of Psalm 47, and it says, with the sound of a trumpet. Now this I found fascinating. Bear this in mind. We say, well, when the Lord returns, certain things will happen. Jesus will shout. That's right. And then there's some other things that will happen, one of them being a trumpet sounds. That's right. Do you think it's a trumpet that wakes the dead? I submit to you there was another reason why God blowed the trumpet, or had the trumpet blowed. I submit to you, do you suppose that the voice of the archangel is who called the dead? And some people think, well, the archangels call the dead. There's another reason why these sounds were given. Jesus Christ is the giver of life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, John said, as the only of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. I don't want to get on my message tonight, but in John chapter 5, Jesus clearly stated that the Father has given the Son the power to quicken whom He will. God the Father possesses the power to make alive whom He will, and He hath committed that same authority, that same power unto the Son. Why is that? Because the Son is no different than the Father, and the Father is no different than the Son. They are both God. They both possess the power of life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Neighbor, whether you believe in Jesus or not, and whether you worship Him or not, or whether you serve Him or not, you are living because He is the giver of your life. And He's the one that'll call your life to its end. And He's the one that you'll stand in the presence and give an account unto Him. So Jesus shouted, Paul says in verse 16, look at it. The Lord Himself, were the first sounds that we'll hear upon the return of the Lord as He descends from heaven, it will be a shout. Why does He shout? Because all of the bodies of those that have put their trust and faith in Him, He'll call them from the ground or from the ocean or from wherever their ash has been scattered. He remembereth them all. Aren't you glad He knows your frame? The body that you now have is not that body you shall have. Praise God for that. But you'll have a body that is fashioned like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it'll be a body that is without pain and without sorrow, and a body that is without any sickness of any kind. And there'll never be, never be a day of affliction upon your life. I'm talking to those that are saved and who believe in the Lord Jesus. But Brother Mike, all my life I've heard that when Jesus descends from heaven and shouts, then there's the voice of the archangel, and then there's the trumpet of God. And these three are synonymous with each other and simultaneous with each other for those that are in the grave to rise. The archangels don't have the power of life. That belongs to Jesus. He is the giver of life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I requote that to you this morning. And since He was the one that created man in His own image and in His own likeness and breathed into His nostrils the breath of life, and He became a living soul. Man sinned against that holy God through Adam, and we're under the condemnation of sin. And if we remain under that condemnation and under that sin of Adam, we shall die and die eternally in a second death in a place called the lake of fire. That isn't where God wants you to go. That's the only place you can go if you refuse to let Him give you eternal life. That ain't what I said. That's what the Bible said. And if you take the mindset, well, I don't believe the Bible, that'll be your demise and your sad fate if you won't believe the Bible. But it is the truth and nothing but the truth. That's why Jesus said it'll set you free. I'm thankful for the freedom that I have in Jesus Christ. Jesus shouted three times while, or He will have shouted three times. He shouted twice while He's here on earth. The first time we see Jesus shout, remember what a shout is. It's a loud call or a loud cry expressing an emotion, a strong emotion. The first time Jesus shouted was at the tomb of Lazarus. Now, pay attention to what I'm telling you. He is the giver of life. And He is the one who understands the end of life. He knew that Lazarus was dead. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. He knew that He was going down to raise Lazarus from the dead. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Even though He knew he was dead, He could have the joy of knowing that Lazarus had a new beginning. So why did He weep? Why did He weep? He wept, didn't He? He wept because when He got down and saw Martha, and she said, oh Lord, if You'd have been here, Lazarus would not have died. Is that not the way we feel in life sometimes when things happen that is so difficult in our dealing with it? We think, well, God, if You had just come on the scene, if You'd have just done something about it, this wouldn't have resulted. But if God did everything that we wanted Him to do, we'd never see the greatness of His glory. Because God said, Lazarus, the sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. And Jesus told his disciples, and for your sakes, I'm glad that I was not there. Because Jesus, in compassion, had he been there, might not have let Lazarus die. So he tarried till he knew Lazarus was dead, so that when he would arrive there, Lazarus would have lain in the grave for 4 days. That would have confirmed to everybody, he's gone, he's dead, he's out of here. And then Jesus knew what he was going to go down there and do. But he saw the brokenness of Martha and said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. I know he will, Lord. I know he will in the resurrection. Jesus had to stop her and say, Martha, I am the resurrection. Hey, if you're living today, even though death is coming to you, you need to not be afraid of it, because you have your faith in the resurrection. Jesus Christ. And she didn't say anything, but they went, and Mary came out. And when Jesus saw Mary, and you know what moved him? Because he knew this was the woman that sat at his feet and hungered to learn more of him. And when he saw her, and then he looked around and saw the Jews, he wept in compassion for Mary, but he wept also in broken sorrow for the Jews that he knew wouldn't believe him. You know what makes God cry more than anything else? It's when he's done so much to fix our sinful way of life that we can be saved, and we say, no, God, I don't need you. I don't want you. And I'm not going to serve you. And we make up all kinds of excuses that we feel justified in. But I promise you, the day that Jesus descends from heaven with a shout, you know what the Bible says those that are unsaved will do? They'll run to the rocks and to the mountains, and they'll cry, hide me from the face of the Lamb and from His wrath to come. It's not a day God wants for you. But when He comes from the heavens with a shout, you know what He's going to do? He's going to call the dead in Christ up first. Heard an old preacher say years ago, God, don't let me live and miss that first resurrection. Let me die. I'm serious. This preacher was so serious about it that every time he preached a funeral, he'd walk over to the casket and say, why not me, Lord? Could that not be me? I don't want to live and be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I want to come out of that casket, kick the lid off, and be changed that way. Because they're first. Did you ever think about it? That's what Jesus said. The dead in Christ shall rise first. In Christ means that you have trusted in Him. You have put your faith in Him. Your sins have been forgiven by Him, covered by His blood, and there's no condemnation or judgment upon your life. And you will make mistakes after you get saved, but you'll never make a mistake that the Holy Spirit won't work with you on, helping you to get forgiveness of it, so that that sin cannot destroy you. So I found this out. If God went up with a shout, He was shouting all of heaven, I'm coming home. Daniel 7, I believe it's chapter 7, and verse number 13 says, that behold, one like unto the Son of Man came with the clouds. See, He went up and was engulfed by the clouds, went on up into the clouds, went into the third heaven. Paul had been there, heard words that he couldn't write down. And Jesus went into the third heavens. And Daniel said, I beheld one like unto the Son of Man come with the clouds, and he came unto the Ancient of Days. All of heaven was assembled to meet him, and angels came down into the clouds to meet him. And Jesus said to two of them, you're going to have to go down there, or those men will stand here looking, and keep looking, and keep looking, and I'm not coming back right now. So they must go and tarry at Jerusalem. So two of them came down and stood by them, and they're standing there gazing, and Jesus is gone. And they're standing there as if he's going to come right back immediately and then restore the kingdom. And they said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, listen to this, this same Jesus, which is taken up into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go away. He went up in a cloud with a shout. He's coming back in a cloud, descending the heavens, and the whole earth is going to hear his shout. And all that are in the graves are coming out first, who are saved first. They're coming out. Well, what's the purpose of the archangel? Did you know the Bible only names one archangel? In the book of Jude, verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9, there's only one chapter. God called Michael an archangel. He's the only archangel named. Some people say, well, I think Gabriel is. Well, you can't prove that biblically. He was the herald of good news. He was the one who announced the birth of Jesus to Mary and told her. He announced unto Elizabeth and Zechariah that they was going to conceive John, and he announced to Mary that she would bear the Son of God. And he was among those that I believe announced to the shepherds that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior Christ the Lord, Gabriel I'm speaking about. But you'll not find anywhere in the Bible that God ever called another angel the archangel but Michael. You read about Michael over in the book of Daniel chapter 10 verse number 13 where God called him the chief prince. He was head over all of the Lord's hosts of fighting angels. Do you know God has a great army in heaven? What does God need an army for? He's going to come back one of these days and deal with this world for killing his son. And he's going to deal with this world for cursing his son. And he's going to deal with this world for blaspheming the name of the one that gave them their lives. And they rejected him. I never hear a Hollywood star or I never hear any person make a foolish statement against God of what I think. What a foolish person you are to think that you can denounce God the way that you do. Your day will come. I pray their day comes for mercy and grace that they get saved. But if it don't, there's a day of judgment coming. And if you read in Daniel, Michael tried to get through to the prince, to Daniel, but he was hindered because Satan brought his armies to fight him, and he was 21 days breaking through. If you go to Daniel chapter 12 and read verse number 1, he said he also not only calls him a chief prince, but he calls him a great prince. We don't know he's an archangel till we come to the New Testament. But he said Michael will stand for his people, Israel. The archangel will sound a voice. The sounds of the return of the Lord are number one, the shout of the Lord. Number two, the shout of the Lord, number one, is to call the dead in Christ up first. Number two, the voice of the archangel is to call the angel assembly together, ready for warfare as soon as God takes the church out of this earth. He's going to bring the angels and deal with this wicked, wicked world that you and I have lived in and think we love. Nobody in the world will love that day. And then the Bible says he'll give a trumpet call. Why the trumpet call? And listen to me very carefully. As we enter in upon these last days, sin will wax worse and worse. The wickedness of the world will get greater and greater. John even said in his days there were antichrists then, but there is one that Paul talks about that will become the Antichrist known in all of the world, whom Jesus will destroy with the brightness of His coming. And if you're among those that say, well, the church will have already been gone, then I ask you to tell me, why did Jesus say that that the days of the elect had to be shortened during that time? Because if God hadn't shortened them, the Antichrist days would have destroyed the elect. This world's going to face some things it's never faced. I'm glad for me it's about over. My appointed hour will come. I'm getting to the age that I'll go. But it's these little ones that's going to face some things that you and I have never faced. And God will take care of them, and He will provide for them. And mommy and daddy, that is the reason why you need to be sure you lead them to Christ and they get saved. When the voice or when the shout comes and the dead in Christ are raised immediately, there'll be some other things that'll take place. But the sounds of His return are first the shout, second the voice of the archangels summoning the angels together. And you can research the Bible and you'll find this to be true. Michael will be their leader according to Daniel chapter 12 when he comes to defeat and destroy all of the enemies in the world, the battle of Armageddon that'll be fought. And then he says the trump of God shall sound. Why is the trumpet? Because when the church is raptured out, Israel is not going out yet. Are you listening to me? Why is Israel not going out? Because you see, blindness happened unto Israel, Paul said, that God might bring the gospel to us Gentiles. Israel were part of the covenants and promises of God. It was up to them to introduce God to the world. But instead of them being permeated in their minds and hearts with the understanding of God, they let all of the gods of the world influence their lives until they got so confused they did not even remember the true and living God and often turned against Him and served other gods. And when you read Paul's letter in Romans chapter 9 through chapter 11, Paul said God allowed blindness to happen to Israel and they've been turned away, that God might turn to you and I, Gentiles, that we might have the mercy of God upon us. And why is God doing that? Because in the end, then, God can turn and have mercy back on Israel when Israel looks and sees the mercy He's had upon us, Gentiles. And it'll be the Gentiles who will actually be the example to the Jews of how to have faith in Christ. And God will sound the trumpet when the church goes out, that Israel may know that Michael has come to take a stand by you and to help you to endure the remaining portion of the tribulation, so that when Jesus returns to this earth to establish His kingdom on the earth and to reign 1,000 years, Israel can be sure that God is their true Savior. God is wise, is He not? Who hath known the mind of God? Who hath been God's counselor? Who can even begin to think that they understand all that God has planned? But there is enough Scripture written for us in the Old Testament and the New Testament for us to confirm what the sounds of heaven are going to be when Jesus returns. Say it with me. The shout of Jesus. The voice of the archangel. And the trumpet of God. Now you know what Paul said about the trumpet of God? It's the last trumpet. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ, Paul said, shall be raised first. And what happens? Well, then the sights start happening. The things that we start seeing begins to develop. What's the first thing we will see? The resurrection of the dead in Christ. What if it's Memorial Day? What if you're putting a wreath on one of your loved ones' tombstone? What are you going to do when the ground blows open? What are you going to do when mama goes past you? Daddy goes past you. What are you going to do? You say, what am I going to do, Brother Mike? Tell me what I'm going to do. You're going to see it. The whole world's going to see it. The Bible said every eye shall see Him and every knee shall bow to Him and every tongue will confess to Him that He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We're going to see the resurrection of the dead in Christ first, but then you know what He said happens? Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He's talking to the Christians now. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Blink your eyes. How long did that take? It'll be faster than that. You'll see the resurrection of the dead. You blink your eyes and you'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And listen to what He says. And we'll be caught up in the clouds. Just as the mama passes you and daddy passes you. I'll tell you what you're going to do. If you're saved, you're going to change and go up with them. And if you've never shouted, you'll be going up on, woo, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I don't care if you think I'm a Pentecost. That's a wonderful day, church. That's the day the whole church has been looking for. But not only will we see the resurrection, but the next sight that we're going to see is the rapture of the church. See, the resurrection is for them who have died in Christ. The rapture is for them that have not died, but they are in Christ, but they'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Rapture means to be caught away. God's already resurrected the bodies of the saints which slept. Because Paul, look at what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of Christ, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then he says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture. The church is who Christ is coming to rapture in the midst of the great tribulation, somewhere before it ends. He's come to rapture the church. I can look out there in the world and feel sorry for it because of their ignorance. And by the way, Paul said, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant. He wasn't suggesting they weren't educated or they weren't learned. What he was suggesting is that they were unlearned about what hope they have. Because why are you sorrowing as if there is no hope? Why are you acting like the worst thing in the world that had ever happened to you is to die in Christ? Why do you act like that you don't want the world to come to an end for a rapture to happen? Why do you sorrow like that? The greatest hope that we have as believers is in Jesus, who's coming back to get us out of this messy world that we're living in. And that isn't the reason to get saved. But I want to tell you something, friend. If you watch them that's in hell, and if you could hear what's going on in hell today, you'd say, that's good enough for me. That's a good enough reason for me to get saved. And we'll be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the sound is Jesus will shout. The archangel will call the angels together for war. The trumpet of God will sound, and the trumpet is to let Israel know that the battle's not theirs, the battle is the Lord's. Because if you studied the history of Israel, they used the trumpet calls to come to battle and to come together. God is going to deal with this world one day. But here's the last thing I want to lay on your heart this morning. And that is, we talked about the sights, but let's talk about the songs that could be sung. I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18. Notice what he says there. Comfort one another with these words. Did the words that you heard this morning of our feature song, did that bless you? You know, I appreciate Brother Ryan for researching and studying the life of the writer and some of the background information, because the best songs are born out of experiences with God. I wouldn't give you a nickel for some of the songs that's written today that have pretty lyrics and pretty melodies, but they're about as shallow as a mud puddle, because they're not really born out of a real inspirational experience with God. But some of the hymns that we sang and love that comfort us and that we take great comfort in, and when you learn them, you'll go around humming them. How many times have you hummed Amazing Grace? Or how many of you times have you hummed There is a Fountain Filled with Blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins? Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And as you've hummed that and thought about that, have you thought about yourself being plunged and cleansed? See, you take comfort in those poetic words that give you great hope. So the comfort that we'll receive from the gloom is that we will have lived in a world, or there'll be people that have lived in the world that had hoped that Jesus would return before the death came, but it didn't happen. Death came. And death may come to some of us that's in this room. We don't have to be afraid of death today, because Jesus has already conquered death. Jesus died on the cross, went into the grave, took the keys of death and hell away from the devil, and when he resurrected, he said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. And your hope should rest in him, because he has resurrected himself from the grave, and he proved that he could resurrect others, because he shouted at the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And when he cried loudly to Lazarus, Lazarus came forth with life. He's the giver of life. Life today. That was his first shout on the earth. His second shout on the earth was when he was dying on the cross. And when he came near to the end of that cross, he shouted these words, it is finished. Amen. Then he cried, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then there's something you need to see in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. And then the Bible says he cried with a loud voice before he gave up the ghost. scholars suggest, and I found in researching it, that he put forth a shout and a call to many bodies of the saints which were dead, that after he resurrects, they are to resurrect and they're to go into the holy city. And Matthew chapter 27 and verse 52 and verse 53 says that after his resurrection, many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Why? Because in verse 50, before he gave up the ghost, he shouted to them and told them what his orders was. How many of you understand? You have the privilege of hearing him call you to be saved. You get the choice right now. But there's a day coming when he puts forth the command. It will be done as he commands. Hallelujah. And many bodies of the saints got up and went into the holy city. What do you think you'd have done if you'd have been walking around and you'd went to one of the latest guy's funerals? And he walks up to you on the street and say, "Hi, Kristen." And the last time he saw Kristen, she was running and all he saw was her back. Now, you wouldn't do that, would you? Why are people afraid of death? Only because death holds fear if you don't know the conqueror of death. He shouted the first time at Lazarus' tomb and life came forth. He shouted from the cross and after his resurrection, life came forth. And the only other time he'll shout again on this earth is for the dead in Christ. When he shouts, they'll come to life. And then he'll rapture those that are living and remaining unto that day. For in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed and we'll be caught up to meet them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And listen, we can take comfort not only in the gloom of all that has happened in death and the sorrow and the conflict of the earth, but we can take comfort also in the consolation of His glory. Because look at what verse 18 says, "Comfort ye one another with these words." But back up in verse 17, notice the words, "And we shall be with the Lord," and we shall be with the Lord for how long? Forever and forever. You know, I was just thinking this morning as the Holy Spirit began to stir my heart in the song service, and I began to bask in the joy and the love of that preciousness of the Holy Spirit. And I've said this often to God as I've passed through the journey and walk of this life. I understand what Paul said and meant when he said, "Now we know in part, and we look through a glass darkly. But then shall we know face to face." You ever tried to look through a tinted windshield? If you get up real close and cup your hands around your face and get your face right up against the window, you can't really see clearly everything in there. You can make out some things in there. And you know what we're doing when we read this book and pass through this earth? We're looking through a glass darkly. And every once in a while we see some glorious things as we're going through and causes us to back up and say, "Whoa. Let me see that again." And we look. But Paul said one of these days God will take that away. And then we'll see clearly. We'll see face to face. And we'll be known even as we're known. And when that day comes, my friends, that we are with the Lord and we are with the Lord forever. This little lyric of a song says, "He and I in that bright glory one deep joy shall share. Mine to be forever with Him, His that I am there." That's what He wants. He wants you there. And the reason that I have to preach this morning for the benefit of those of you that's in this service and those that might be watching is to help you understand He's coming back. And He's coming back to receive them that He wants to be with Him there. And He wants you to understand that you should be watching for and looking for His coming, but you need to know what's going to happen when He comes. You're going to hear the sounds of His voice as He shouts to the dead in Christ to rise. You're going to hear the archangel voice as well when He assembles all the armies of heaven. Michael will call them all, and they'll start because Jesus said He'll descend heaven with a shout and with all of His holy angels. They'll be with Him. Then we shall see the sights we'll hear the trump of God sound, so Israel will know that God is taking the church away, but God is going to help them finish out their last days. Because when you read the book of Romans, Paul clearly tells the Israel that out of Zion shall come the deliverer, and God shall turn away unrighteousness from Jacob, because it has become the day of Jacob's trouble. That's recorded in the book of Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah prophesied and said, in that day the men will stand with their hands on their loins like a woman in travail, and there'll be sorrow and sadness over all the faces of the earth. And it'll be a time of trouble the world has never known. The tribulation is largely for the nation of Israel, that God might turn their hearts back unto Him. In the book of Isaiah chapter 25, God said, when that day comes that our Lord returns, the covering that is over the face of all people and over the nations of the world, God's going to take that away. And the people will shout, this is our Lord. We have waited for Him. And the resurrection will happen before our eyes. We'll see that. And then we'll be changed and the rapture will happen. We'll be caught up to be with the Lord. And we can take comfort from all the gloom. And we can comfort in the glory of the fact that we will be with the Lord forever and forever. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's going to be a day. As Ryan comes and Brianna comes to the piano, before that day, you and I have to have a day here where we meet Jesus, where we come to know Him. I don't mean know Him just by name. I mean know Him from experience. Not know Him because mom or dad knew Him, or because you had a wonderful grandfather or grandmother that knew Him. But know Him personally because you have heard Him call you. You have come to Him and acknowledged before Him, I am truly a sinner, just as you said, but I give myself to you. Because He loves you. He loves all of us. He loved us even while we were yet enemies. He loved us. And He personally went and faced death for us out on Calvary so that He could conquer death so death would not conquer us. And He not only conquered death, but He resurrected from the grave to assure us that even when death comes, just like it did to Lazarus, though he was dead, yet he would still live because He is the resurrection. And so all of your family, your mothers, your fathers, your brothers, your sisters, your children, your loved ones from every walk of life who are saved, there's a resurrection coming for them at the return of Christ. The church that's still living in the day that Christ returns will be immediately changed and taken out of here. And God will put down all authority and all rule, and the enemy death shall be destroyed. And then the Lord will set His kingdom here on this earth for 1,000 years. That's what the Bible says. I said that's what the Bible says. I don't care what some scholar has said. You better read the Bible. Well, I trust a scholar. Well, I got some news for you. Many of the scholars of this present day is wrong about pre-tribulation, premillennialism. That is, the church will be raptured out, and then there's 7 years of tribulation. They're wrong. Your Bible doesn't promulgate that. Because Jesus clearly says that when He returns this earth, the Antichrist will be in power, and He will destroy him with the brightness of His coming. That's going to be a great day. I suspect I'll already be dead and gone, because it's appointed for me. Somebody said, well, but now, preacher, I believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Where'd you learn that from? A Bible scholar, I presume. Because there is no such thing. You'll not find that in the Scriptures. He will return. But no man knows the day nor the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. But God clearly laid out for us some signs and some things that we can watch for and know so that that day of His return doesn't take us as a thief in the night. And I can tell you by the things that the Bible says would be signs of the season, we're getting closer and closer every day. Amen? But before that day, you need to have a day like today where you come and meet with God and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart. Now today, as we stand to our feet, if you were here Friday night, I couldn't help but to sit back there and weep in my heart for David, who was portrayed in it was in line with Scripture. David was truly a sweet psalmist, a sweet singer to the Lord. He had such a wonderful relationship as a little boy with God and as a young lad growing up, and such strength that was beyond man's natural ability to battle a bear and battle a lion to protect the flock. That's because God had His hand on David and He had a purpose for David's life. God has His hand on you and He has a purpose for your life as well. And David loved the king. He took his harp. He was a great musician. Took his harp down to play for the king, to soothe the king. And the king loved David. And David dearly loved the king. But the king got jealous of David because he could see God's hand on David. And the king knew he had lost what he once had. And David just at those hours didn't think it was possible that he could be lost. And somebody has told you that once you're saved, no matter what you do, you're all right. But if that's true, why did what happened to Saul happen? And if that's true, why did the thing that happened to David happen? When David got to be king and he got exalted to a certain point, David got lackadaisical and lazy, and he looked out and looked upon a woman, and through frustration, through weariness, through heartaches and sorrows of life, separation from his family, he committed a terrible sin of immorality. And in the end, David realized what a mess he'd made of his life. You know, when I watched that, I thought about all the people that I've seen through the years that I've not get saved, and some of them go through what David went through, and some of them that I thought about's not got back to God yet. But I rejoice that God had mercy on David. And you know what I can tell you today? I can rejoice that if you've ever been saved, but you know you've lost that fellowship, God will have mercy on you today. Father, I pray as we close this sermon and we have the invitation. Thank you, God, for the sounds, the sights, and the songs. No, Paul didn't write that when we go up in the rapture or in the resurrection to meet the Lord in the air and would forever be with the Lord, that we were singing. But He gave us the lyrics of a song that we could sing, because we won't have to anymore be troubled by the sorrows of life. But we can, and we won't have to be taken over by the gloom of death and sin that's in the world. But God, we can in that glorious day be consumed with the glory of God. A glory that awaits us that is beyond anything that we can even begin to think or comprehend. God, today I believe You would have me preach such a message as this to help people know He's coming. Jesus is coming. And they need to get ready. And just as surely as that day will come, I've already said it, Father, they need a day with You here now in repentance and in reassurance, if they've ever been saved, of their forgiveness and their restoration in fellowship with You. So as Brother Ryan sings the invitation song in just a moment, help them to come today and take comfort in the words, "So shall we ever be with the Lord. We are to comfort one another with such words." Thank You, Lord, for the blessed hope that we have. I know that we can't help but sorrow when we lose a loved one. I sorrowed and wept when my dad and mother passed, and my brothers passed. But I took comfort, Lord, in knowing where they are. And I took more comfort and hope in knowing that we shall meet again. And we'll never in that day be separated again from one another. Death will be destroyed. Have Your way in these closing moments, I pray. In Jesus' name. While Brother